All right, well, good evening. Good to see y'all this evening. And those of us that are online, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start out by singing, "You Are Good." Good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we good and your mercy endureth forever. And Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Amen. A little warmer now.
The splendor of the King, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great Green.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials sore. I go to him for blessings, and he gives them o'er and o'er. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, gold and grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and true to him I'll be. Oh, how could I this friend deny, when he's so true to me? Following him, I know I'm right. He watches o'er me day and night. Following him by day and night, he's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend. Amen. Anybody got a pick of him? A song you're thinking of? 611? Let's see what's on 611. I turned too far. Let's turn back. Oh, he hideth my soul in 611. Alrighty. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful... I started off wrong. I apologize. Yeah. Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love
and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, O wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Amen.
Well, about the time we get ready to go, it'll probably be warmed up in here. A lot of room to warm up. We got the both of them heaters just a going full blast. We just have to get it, maybe get it a little early next time. We didn't get it quite as early. But it's warming up a little bit. It's jacket weather in here. Yeah, it's probably warmer on that side. More hot air over there, yeah. Amen. Now, I'll have to look one direction that way. Yeah, that's right. Amen. All right. What do we have for praises? Got some praises tonight? All right. Let's hear it. Oh, yeah. We got to get you mic'd up. Hold on.
Yeah.
There it is.
Sharon called me and told me that she took some steps today.
Oh, great, amen.
A lot of steps.
Good for her.
Not walking normally, but walking with her walker, sliding her foot and pulling the other one up.
Yeah.
And the second praise is I have two great-grandchildren over in Awanas, and I'm so proud of that.
Amen. All right, so grandbabies in Awanas. And Sharon's taking some steps. That's good praise. Amen. What else? Any other praises? Anybody got one? Any other praises? Yeah, John's got one. He can't hardly contain himself. Amen.
Well, sir, we had a great men and ladies Bible study.
Amen. All right, yeah.
And I can't remember, but we had a lot of new faces.
Good deal. All right.
And we're happy to see them. Hopefully we'll see them again on March 7th, I believe.
Okay.
All right.
Men's and women's Bible study. Very good. All right. What else? Anybody else? Anything online? Anybody got a praise online? All right. Anybody got a favorite scripture, Bible story that's blessed them? Something in the Word that touched them they want to share with the group?
Quiet tonight.
That's all right. It's cold and people are trying to think. And
amen. That's right.
All right. Miss Bickie's got one. All right, Miss Bickie. What's that Bible verse?
Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and wonderful and mighty things which ye have not known.
Amen. That's a good one. All right, prayer request then. All right, Brother John.
I guess on the news tonight, another officer shot.
Yeah, we don't know.
Don't have all the details
all
on
the details
it, so
yet.
We've got to continue to pray for those in blue.
Yes.
And also for our military.
Yes.
With this Russian situation and all our first responders.
I was found out today. I don't know how I forgot it, but Ukraine is where that Chernobyl thing happened back in 80, gosh, what was that, 82, 86? They had that massive nuclear meltdown business. That's all right there. Ukraine, northeast part of Ukraine going into Russia. So, yeah, something, man. Right. All right, officer shot in Houston. And how far was that shooting from here? That was at Southwest Houston. That's it. Yeah, Southwest Houston. Okay. Yes, somebody have one? Yes, right here. Hold on, we got a mic yet.
I don't like mics.
Softball coaches.
Lily's softball coach has a son that's 9 or 10 that has Down syndrome, and he was in the hospital today, I think, having his heart checked, and just want to pray for him. The coach is so tender-hearted to children with disabilities, and amen. We need to pray for Case is his name.
All right, Case. We will do that tonight. Amen. Very good. Praying for little Case.
I'll pray for Ronnie Vackler in his eye. He's been having an eye problem.
Eye trouble. Okay.
Yeah, he's got one eye bothering him pretty bad.
All right. Ronnie Vack on the eye. Eye trouble. Amen, amen. What else? What else? All right, Bobby's got one in the back.
Yeah, I need prayer for my son and my daughter-in-law.
Okay.
They've got a situation going on, and I just need to lift it up.
All right. Bobby's son, daughter-in-law. All right, all right. Anything else?
I thought you had your hand up.
Oh, no. Unspoken.
Unspoken. Amen.
Yeah, unspoken.
Those of you with unspoken, amen. Raise your hand. You got an unspoken? That's about everybody in here. Unspoken. All right, all right. All right, a couple more prayer requests we got. This little, I don't know really how to say his name, but his grandmother's Vita Cavett. There in Aldine ISD, you may have seen it on the news. He's a little 11-year-old boy, nonverbal, has about the mentality of a 4 or 5-year-old. And they have video of him, if you saw the video on the news. Big old kid, man. I mean, big old kid. They're in middle school, so big old kid was putting the whoop down on him. I mean, this guy is small. And, the teacher's aide's just kind of, and hey, man, COVID, they're understaffed, overworked, I get it. But it was horrific watching it. And I've seen it a couple times on the news, and I'm just like, you want to turn away. You're just like, oh, yeah, well, it happened. You know, kids get on kids pretty quick. And, yeah. Well, they did. They maybe not gave enough care to the little boy that got beat up on after it was over. Let's just say that, you know. So, but anyway, the prayer is for, I guess, the whole situation. But his little psyche, and then for his grandmother. His parents died when he was a baby, and his grandmother took him to raise. So Vita Cavett is his grandmother, and Sakai. Is the boy's name. And then the educators, you know, they all need prayer, get through this situation. But anyway, we want to pray for that. As already has been mentioned, we want to pray for this Russian aggression in Ukraine. And praise the Lord, the COVID's trending down. Hallelujah, amen. All right. We want to pray for that. And let's see here. I think that's about it. Anything else? All right, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we just praise you, Lord. We're thankful that we have praises to lift up to you tonight. And, Lord, we're able to sing praises to your name. And, Lord, we got a a warm place in here. It's getting warmer by the minute, and we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we're looking forward to warmer days, but Lord, come August, we'll be missing days like this. So, Lord, it's nice to kind of have a little change of the season, even as shocking as that cold, damp air is tonight. We praise you and thank you for a good day today. And, Lord, thank you for electricity and gas so we can heat our homes and be warm and toasty under the covers tonight. We praise you for grandchildren, Lord, and the legacy that they represent. We're thankful that Miss Vicky's got some next door over in Awanas. We praise you for that. We praise you for Sharon and her recovery of this car wreck so many months ago. And, Lord, the long road she's gone through and finally taking some steps now. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, we're lifting up and praising you for the men's and women's Bible study. Thank you for a good turnout and some new faces and some returning faces, Lord. We praise you and thank you for that. And, Lord, we're thankful for the scripture that was shared, Jeremiah 33:3. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for your word. We can be reminded of it, encourage each other with it. Lord, as we go through our prayer list tonight, we lift up this middle school in Aldine Independent School District. We pray for this little guy, Sakai. We pray for his grandmother, Vita. We pray for those educators, Lord, that are in that situation of him getting beat up by that other boy. And, Lord, we just pray for that situation. We pray you help Sakai navigate through that. We pray for the boy that beat him up, Lord. We pray you help him with his issues. And, Lord, we pray that in the midst of all this finger-pointing and blaming and, Lord, trying to get people fired and all this stuff, we pray that these kids might grow through this and be better for it somehow, some way, God. You get the glory for it in the midst of all this that's going on. Lord, we continue to pray for Ukraine. We pray for that country. We pray that you might help them defend their land, Lord, and you might stave off the Russian aggressors that, Lord, it just looks like almost any day we're going to have a full-blown war and full-blown Russian invasion, as Russia has already taken some eastern territories there in Ukraine. Father God, we pray for minimal loss of life. We pray that cooler heads would prevail. And, Lord, we pray that the sanctions that have been put on Vladimir Putin and Russia and his oligarchs would begin to make him think and to step back and pull all these men and equipment back to Russia. So, Lord, we lift that situation up to you. We do praise you, Lord, that COVID is trending down. We pray these healthcare workers would get a much-needed rest. Lord, we pray that these that have left the nursing profession, that have gone on to do other things, we pray that they would begin to trickle back in and come back. And, Lord, you would just build these nursing staffs and nursing staffs and hospital staffs. Lord, you'd build those things back up where they once were. Lord, we pray for this officer that was shot in Southwest Houston. We pray for his well-being. Lord, we pray you might spare his life. Father God, we just pray that you'd bring him through this incident. We lift up Lillian's softball coach's son. We pray for little Case tonight with Down syndrome and what's going on with his heart and having to go to the hospital. And Lord, we just pray that you give those doctors and pediatricians wisdom and discernment on how to best treat Case, and you just see Case through, be with his parents, and Lord, just help them through this difficult time as they try to care for their son there in the hospital. We pray for Brother Ronnie, and we pray for this eye trouble that he's having, Lord. We pray you might bring healing to him. Touch this eye, God, and help it. And Lord, just help him be able to continue to see and navigate and do all the things that you're calling him and leading him to do, Lord. We lift him up to you tonight. We pray for that eye. And then, Lord, for Bobby's son and daughter-in-law, the situation that they find themselves in, Lord, you know what's going on and you know what needs to happen. And, Lord, we just pray for your wisdom. We pray for your peace. We pray for your direction in that situation. And, Lord, we just pray for Bobby's son and daughter-in-law, what's going on with them. And then, Lord, as we think about all the unspokens tonight, all the hands that were lifted up, Lord, we're thankful that we can say those things to you privately and under our breath, we can pray these things to you in our mind, Lord, as we go through this time. And, Lord, we're just thankful that you hear us. Lord, we just send it up a concert of prayer tonight as we think about these different unspokens and what they represent. And Lord, thank you that you're sovereign. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you that you're for us and not against us. And thank you that you love us so much. We praise you tonight for that. We are thankful for our salvation, Lord. We're thankful that we can be in your word tonight. And we praise you and thank you for all that you want to do in us and with us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 18. Kind of a shorter Bible study tonight as we seek to finish this chapter, chapter 18. We've been through this two-chapter parenthetical statement beginning in chapter 17, verse 1. Online folks, good to see you tonight. We've been in a two-chapter parenthetical statement beginning in chapter 17, verse 1. And that ran all the way through chapter 18. You remember chapter 17 dealt with the religious element of the city of Babylon and how this religious element was consumed or taken over by the worship of who? Worship of the Antichrist, right? And so there was this false religion here in Babylon. Huge, big business, incredible. I mean, you know, just as big as it gets. And that thing all comes to a close as the Antichrist says, you know, everybody's going to worship me, right? And so that thing is, the false religion is done away with in Revelation chapter 17. And then we get into chapter 18, which deals with the economic, the monetary, the commerce side of the city of Babylon. And so we've been dealing with that for several Bible studies, and we seek to finish that this evening. So if you have a copy of God's Word, we're in Revelation chapter 18. I'll invite you to stand in reading the Word of God tonight. The Word of God says in Revelation 18, have you found it? Verse 21. Revelation 18, 21, the Word of God reads this, then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of God's Word, and may He add His blessing to it tonight. Now, we've already looked at how the system was corrupted, all right? That was verses 1 through 8. And then we talked about how the system was considered. That was verses 9 through 20. As we end this chapter tonight, we're dealing with a system condemned. And you kind of get the feeling of that in verses 21 through 24. We begin this evening, these last few verses bring the judgment of economic Babylon finally to a conclusion. And the good news is that we're getting ready for what now? We're getting ready for the second coming. We've gone all this way. We've had all this preparation, all this judgment. And now we're finally going to get to, this Wednesday night, tonight, Sunday night, we're finally going to get to the very beginnings of the second coming of Jesus Christ. So, a system condemned. Babylon's condemnation characterized. Well, how in the world is it characterized? Look at verse 21. Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone, baby. A millstone, what are we talking about? It was a huge round stone used to grind grain. It'd have a hole in it. They would put some kind of a pivot through it, like a log, I'd be a big log. They would attach that to a beast of burden. a burro, a horse, something. That thing would be, pull it in a circle, and that old millstone would be just, it would go in that little round trough, and it would just crush the grain, crush the grain. They'd use it to crush olives, all kinds of stuff. This millstone, a typical millstone, of course, was round, had a hole in it, was 4 to 5 feet in diameter, usually about a foot thick. A stone of that size, a typical stone of that size, you threw it in the water, it ain't, you and I getting that back up. I mean, that sucker's going all the way down to the bottom. It would sink to the bottom of the sea, sink to the bottom of the lake. It would not float back. You could not get it back up to the surface. This stone is used to illustrate, to characterize, if you will, the judgment that is coming upon Babylon. Babylon will be destroyed, and the evil economic empire will not rise to power ever again. Amen? Now, this is what Jeremiah the prophet prophesied thousands of years ago. Jeremiah chapter 51, verses 61 and 64, the Word of God reads this. Then Jeremiah said to Zechariah, as soon as you come to Babylon, then see that you read all these words aloud and say, you, O Lord, have promised concerning this place to cut it off, so that there will be nothing dwelling in it, whether man or beast, but it will be a perpetual desolation. And as soon as you finish reading this scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the into the middle of the Euphrates, and say, just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise again because of the calamity that I'm going to bring upon her, and they will become exhausted. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So the point we want to think about here, at the end, coming to the end of the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, the judgment of Babylon will be sudden. It will be swift. It will be sure. And it will be forever settled. She ain't coming back. Babylon's not coming back. We see Babylon's condemnation, how it's characterized, verse 21. As we continue on, we see Babylon's condemnation completed. We pick it up in verse 21, millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. Verse 22, and the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpets will not be heard in you any longer. No craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer, and the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer, and the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer, and the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer, for your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. So complete will be Babylon's destruction that none of the normal activities of human life will take place in it again. None. There will be no one making music at all. Nobody. The sound of harpists and musicians and the beboppers and the rappers and whatever the music is of the day, that will all be over. There will be no one working. No craftsmen, no welders, no shipmates, no shipwrights, no automobile manufacturing, no nothing will not be found any longer. There will be no one prepping food. There will be no sound of a meal, no manufacturing or baking or anything of the sort. The city will be so completely abandoned that the Word of God says that even the light of a lamp will not shine in her any longer. It's going to be dark 30 in this place. There will be no more falling in love. Not going to be no bride, bridegrooms saying, I love you. Oh, I love you. Let's get that. Marriage is over in this place. There'll be no more falling in love. The voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in her any longer. Babylon will be so thoroughly destroyed that it will never rise again, as predicted by the Old Testament prophets of Isaiah and of Jeremiah that we just read. Babylon's condemnation is completed. We've seen how it's characterized. It's going to be swift, like millstone, like going to the bottom of the sea. Now we see Babylon's condemnation contemplated. Second half of verse 23 and all the way through verse 24. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. We see here in the second half of verse 23, and as we take it all the way to the end of verse 24, we see here that there are three final reasons given for Babylon's judgment. Number one, first, her merchants, it talks about, were the great men of the earth, using their wealth to do what? To ascend to positions of power and prominence and influence. The abuses of the proud, the abuses of the proud and the arrogant, the abuses of these rich are well documented in Scripture. James chapter 2, verse 6 says, "But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court?" Later in his epistle, James further indicted the rich for their abuse of the poor. In James chapter 5, verses 4 and 6, the Word of God reads, "Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, and which has been withheld by you, cries out against you, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you." We go back through the Old Testament, look at some of the Old Testament prophets, Amos. These two prophets also condemned the rich for their self-aggrandizement and maltreatment of the poor. A second reason for Babylon's being judged is that all the nations were deceived, the Word of God says, by her sorcery. Now, does your Bible say that? What does your Bible say? Sorcery? Yeah. Sorcery. We begin to kind of unpack that in the Greek, and sorcery is from the Greek word pharmakeia. Pharmakeia sounds familiar. It's the root word of our English word for pharmacy. It's the root word of our English word for pharmaceuticals. These are drugs, right? Yeah, drugs, prescriptions, right? But drugs also can be abused, right? The word is used in the New Testament to refer to magic and occult practices. Now, we go back and look at 9:21. We would read that in Revelation 9:21. We go back to Galatians 5:20. We would talk about a reference that deals with the occult and the magic there. But kind of a gateway, I guess, into that kind of stuff are what? Drugs. Yeah. People use those drugs to what? Expand that mind and get off onto this and get off into that and all kinds of crazy stuff. Talking to some folks the other day, and they were talking about a marriage that had gone bad, and the marriage went bad because the husband first got off into the drugs, and once he got off into the drugs, everything else kind of was a domino effect, right? Domino effect. Amen. So Babylon's hold on the world will not be entirely due to her military, will not be entirely due to her economic power, but will also have something to do with some kind of pharmaceutical, sorcery, some kind of occult, some kind of gateway drug. I don't know. You know, we've all been talking about this, or the conspiracy was that, you know, man, if you get this vaccine, they're going to put something in you. Well, I think one day they're going to put something in you. We won't be around, right? But they're going to put something in you, amen? That will be the one you don't want, amen? But you won't, if you're saved, you won't be around for that, amen? You'll get to bypass that one, right? A final reason given for Babylon's judgment is her murderous slaughter of God's people. Verse 24, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who've been slain on the earth." It almost makes you wonder. It almost makes you think, you know, back in the Holocaust, you know, when Jews were taken from their homes and they were sent to concentration camps, right? And these concentration camps over here, they gassed them. And these concentration camps over here had them line up and, you know, they'd have them dig their own graves and have them line up, and then they would just be shot and they would fall into their own graves. It was just kind of, you know, the Germans kind of built and kind of perfected how to kill people mass murder style. It almost makes you think when you read this and think of it's almost like they're going to have a system of bringing people that will not take the mark of the beast. A huge system, right? And it's going to be centrally located. And it's going to be part of this city somewhere, right? Verse 24, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. Now, the heavenly rejoicing is coming over Babylon's downfall, right? Look at chapter 19, 1 and 2. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, this is where me and you come in, right? Because we've been raptured, amen? Saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because His judgments are true and righteous, for He has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and has avenged the blood of His bondservants on her. Me and you get to say that one day. Amen? One day in the future, we're going to get to shout that. Amen? Now, the words of Jesus, and you know this passage, but let's just be reminded of it. Go to Luke with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 12. And God's word kind of hangs together. Luke 12, beginning in verse 16. And He told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. But notice, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward who, folks? God, yeah. The words of Jesus in Luke's passage here, Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, 16 through 21, these words form a fitting conclusion to the message of judgment on commercial Babylon. We've already seen the judgment on religious Babylon. We're closing it out on commercial Babylon. So what can we ultimately say about this economic system that is going to be judged at the end of the 7 years of the Great Tribulation? This system is judged because she stood for everything that God was against. This system was domineering. A few got rich while the rest suffered. This system was deceptive. People were led to believe that salvation was in achieving riches and success, and that is none other than the lie of who? The lie of the devil, right? So let me give you a pointed or potent life truth to live by. You are better off not having any of this world's goods. You are better off not having any of this world's goods than for this world's goods to have all of you. Amen. Amen? Listen to the Word of God in Proverbs 11:4. It says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Proverbs 11:28 says, he who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like the green leaf. This system here in back in Revelation chapter 18, verse 24, this system, this world economic system, was a deadly system. The Babylonian system has been responsible for the deaths of many of God's precious people down through the ages. What do you call this Babylon? Any kind of system that is founded on greed, right? And, you know, companies, man, when they take care of everybody, you know, from the top all the way to, those are good companies, right? But there have been companies through the years that didn't do that, right? The rich got richer and the poor got what? Yeah, or the leftover, right? They didn't get much, right? This Babylonian system that's going to thrive here in the 7 years of the Great Tribulation, that this the mindset of it has been responsible for the deaths of many of God's precious people down through the ages. In fact, most of the faithful martyrs that have been killed have been sacrificed on the altar of power and profit. One way or the other, power and profit. This world economic system that has caused so much pain is going to be destroyed one day. And my advice again to you is to be sure that your treasure is where? It's in the right place. Another passage that you are familiar with, but let's be reminded of it tonight as we close it out. It's Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, chapter 6. We've already preached through it in detail, but it's been several months ago, maybe even a year ago. Matthew 6, I'd have to go back and look, see how far it's been since, how many months have been gone by since we've been in Matthew 6. But Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, you know this passage. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen? So, you know, the bottom line is, if you place, and we're just trying to make a little application here on a Wednesday night, at the end of this parenthetical statement here in Revelation chapter 18. But if you place the eggs of your life in the basket of the world, they will all be broken one day. Amen? If you are too tied to this world and the pursuit of wealth, God can set you free. Amen? God can set you free. Hallelujah. Anybody go to the Super Bowl? Anybody? You didn't watch it either? Them tickets are expensive, aren't they? I mean, man, what's the ticket for the Super Bowl? That's a lot of money. Yeah. But there are people that spent that money for that Super Bowl. And they didn't just spend the money on the ticket. They made a whole week of it. I mean, they made a whole week of it. And they didn't just spend the money for the ticket, make a whole week of it. Their accommodations, top shelf, right? Top shelf. And they didn't just stay in top shelf accommodations. They ate like kings and queens, right? And then they went to the gladiatorial coliseum and watched them two teams see who was going to win, right? Amen. Now, I watched it home for free after we got home from church. Amen. I got the best part of the game, the second half, right? But think about where our culture is, right? A lot of men and a lot of people think they're somebody or something if they end up with a ticket at that game, right? And not only do they go to the game and not only have the finest accommodations at the game, but they put in some money on the game. Amen, right? Some people have more money than they got. Yeah, okay. Amen. Are y'all good? All right, we finished chapter 18. we finally get into the best part of the book, 19 and on. Jesus is what? Jesus coming back. We've seen the judgment. Amen. Well, we're going to have the white throne later on down the road. Yes, sir, Brother John. Yeah. Get out of town, man. SoFi, L.A. Coliseum. Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah. There's a, I'm not mentioning names because I don't tell tales, but there's a preacher in this community who was at that game. Pastor's a large church. And one of his members flew him there in his private jet. And I'm just like, you would take that game over. He's got a big congregation, man. You would take that game over preaching in front of your people? He took that game. Yeah, it was free. Dr. Jeremiah's a big Charger fan. Well, Chargers didn't make the Super Bowl. Is he really? My soul. He got a private helicopter flies him in there. Well, man, don't be telling a lot of people that. They'll be giving their Jeremiah books away. Oh, is he really? Yeah. Kind of a family deal. Yeah. Amen. Well, shall we pray? Let's pray it on out. Dear Jesus, Lord, we're thankful we got through it tonight. We're thankful for your word, Lord, and we're thankful for your truth. And Lord, we do want to continue to anticipate your second coming and, Lord, look forward to it and be ready for it. And Lord, as we continue to go through these chapters, these series of Bible studies as we go through it, Lord, we pray you just equip us and help us. And Lord, help us share that truth with somebody else that, you know, somebody might be living their life like Jesus is not coming back, and we want to help them and let them know Jesus is coming back. They need to be ready. So, God, thank you that we're ready tonight. We're saved and we're heaven bound. But, Lord, there may be somebody else that we know, love, and care for that needs to make that decision, needs to be exposed to that truth. Give us the words. Give us the opportunity. Give us the moment in time to share with them the greatest news they'll ever hear. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen.